Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode one of the Weekly Orbit. I'm your host, Serena Austin, and editor-in-chief of the Sputnik, and I'm here with my guest and copy editor, Umeyma. Umeyma, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on here, Serena.
Thank you for joining me. You've been a great team member, so I'm super happy to have you as our first guest. Just before we get started, do you want to share with us one thing you've seen that's concerned you a bit? Yeah, okay. So one thing that I've seen that's concerned me actually this morning, when I first put on my glasses and gained the vision of sight again, I looked at my window and saw a little squirrel floating in the pool. So that's great. I had to tell my dad that he needs to go fish it out, and he has been asking me the past 3 days to help him cover up the pool, but our schedules are just so different. It never lines up. And again, I had to come record the show, so the pool is still uncovered, but the squirrel has been fetched out.
Oh my god. That's so crazy. Well, I don't have a concern that's like that, but, for example, like, especially with classes, for example, like, me and my roommate in Brantford, we don't really have, the same schedule, obviously, like, when she's not home, I am, and vice versa. So, for example, we had a problem with, like, our sink, and it was just, like, spraying water everywhere. And it's, like, so hard to find a time to get our landlord to, like, come over and, like, fix things while we're both there. And sometimes he just has to come over when we're not home at all. And it's just, like, that's something that concerns me a little bit. But because, like, I feel like as students, we just kind of neglect things like this. Like, for example, even if at your house, you know, the cleaning is getting delayed, or if, I don't know, like, things are messy, like, you have laundry everywhere, like, it just, you can't really pay attention to those things sometimes, or as frequently, or as much as you would like, just because of your schedule and how busy it is. But yeah, I guess that's student life.
Yeah, no, I definitely find, like, even the fact that I have to ask somebody else who doesn't just live in the house to, like, come and fix it makes me be like, it's not that big of an issue. Like,
yeah,
we've had terrible Wi-Fi since February. I've gone over my data twice because of the Wi-Fi in my house, and it's supposed to be fixed now, but I don't know about that. We'll see when I get back.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Okay, and then is there something that's made you happy / laugh / smile?
Honestly, yeah. Like, I've had a lot of laughs, and I feel really good about this semester so far, or this term. Honestly, being the copy editor here at the Sputnik, I just want to say, this is a little self-promo, but, like, as the Sputnik, but, one thing I really enjoy doing is copy editing and just, like, reading everyone's work. Like, it'll just be a random Tuesday afternoon, and I'll read, like, the best poem I've ever, like, read in my life. So it's, like, really interesting. I love, like, hearing or reading about the things that we have here at the Sputnik, and, you know, a lot of these stories really make my day, and a lot of, especially, like, with our new Infinitum piece or section with the poems, and we have short stories. Like, these are really good writers here, and I hope that other people can also have their day made or smile or laugh or whatever from reading these pieces that a lot of people worked really hard to put together.
Amazing. Big self promo. Shout out to our writers. Keep up the great work, and yeah, you heard it here, best poems you've ever read in your life at the Sputnik. Something that's made me laugh, oh my gosh, or happy, I went out last night and I had a good time with my friend, and that was good, and we had so much good food, and I didn't have to spend an arm and a leg. And everyone gave us rides everywhere, so I didn't have to pay for Ubers and stuff like that. Everyone really pitched in to make sure we had a great night.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's Toronto, going out in Toronto can be rough. It can be not as fun as it seems.
Oh, you were in Toronto.
Yes. I'm still at home. I'm waiting as long as possible to return to Brantford. I live in Durham region, so
I just
take the train. Yeah.
Oh, Durham Regent. Okay, sorry, this is ignorant. Where is that?
That's okay. Durham Region is the first region east of Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah. So I live in Pickering, which is kind of like Pickering is like the border, and there's a lot of discourse here about if you're from Toronto or not. And I think people are gonna roast me because I just said the T in Toronto, and they're gonna say you're not from Toronto, which I know I'm not from Toronto. Don't worry.
Oh my God, Pickering. Like, that's where the. I'm sorry, this is where my mind goes, but
No,
like,
that's okay.
that Pickering, like the farm, like the serial killer.
Excuse me? What are you talking about?
What?
I'm
Okay, no,
scared.
the pig farm serial killer.
Oh,
He's
you mean Willie
Canadian.
Picton?
Was that his name?
With the pig farm? Oh gosh.
Was that in Pickering? It was, right?
No, that was in like British Columbia.
No, it was here in Ontario. No.
What are you? I don't know. Okay, what? I need more details.
Okay, I'm searching it up.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
Robert
check your.
Picton. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's British Columbia.
Okay.
Really great that that's the association we get, though.
I'm sorry. Okay, I remember his farm was called like the Pickering Farm or something like that, no?
I think it's Picton because that's his last name, right?
Yeah.
Him and his brother or his son or dad or whatever. There's two of them.
Yeah, it says, yeah, it was a pig farm elsewhere. I think BC, you're right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, that was weird. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But actually, Pickering was home to Shawn Mendes, so yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a positive connotation for
Yeah.
everyone and all those weirdos out there that thought like I did, like associated that with the serial killer. So,
No, we
my
have Shawn
apologies to
Mendes.
everybody living in Pickering.
Yeah, everybody, I feel like everybody on this campus who's ever played like Two Truths and a Lie with me knows that Shawn Mendes' high school girlfriend went to my dance studio. So
Oh, wow.
crazy. Small
Yeah.
world. I basically know
Yeah.
him, actually. He came to one of our recitals. So glad we're sticking to our agenda here. That's totally fine.
Yeah, okay, I did want to ask, sorry, this is like a timeout type of thing.
Okay. Yes, back to our self promo. We're gonna do some more. The Sputnik October issue is on stands currently around campus. Definitely in the LB YMCA, in the Student Center, in One Market, in Odeon, in Rack, all of our main campus buildings, you can find them. So definitely pick up a copy. We're really happy with the way it turned out for our second issue. And there's some really great stories in there.
Yeah, and I've seen these copies everywhere on campus, so no one has an excuse that they couldn't find them. Because that was definitely me in first year, though. Like, I was like, where are like the newspapers here? Like, I can't find any, but like, they are literally everywhere now. I see them
Yeah,
everywhere
there's
I
lots.
go. So pick up a copy for sure.
Definitely. Some of the stands are, when I was like doing distribution, I was like, this is kind of like literally in the corner. But we are visible, so please check us out to stay on top of what's going on campus. It's important. It's important to be in the know. Okay, self promo done. It is currently the Saturday after reading week. To me, this is still reading week.
Yeah.
But how has your reading week been?
Well, mine's been pretty good so far. Honestly, I feel like before reading week, when I was talking to a lot of people about it, everyone was like, this is so well deserved. Because I feel like everyone, or at least everyone I talked to, was talking about how they felt burnt out almost. They felt so tired. Like, I personally was so sick of waking up early every morning, and I just couldn't wait to just finally be able to sleep in and do what I want throughout the day, not have to worry about going to class or doing whatever assignment in time. So I mainly just like chilled for like the first half of reading week for sure. Like I just stayed in bed, did what I wanted. But like by the second half, it's like I feel like you also have a certain expectation to get ahead and take advantage of this time. So it's like I want to relax, but then also we have assignments and midterms due the next week that I definitely want to get ahead of, so I don't have to, you know, stay up all night next week and work on those last minute. So yeah,
that's kind of the balance, because I'm like, yes, it's reading week, I have a whole week, which feels so long. And then it was like Tuesday and I was like, wait, I actually am coming back to quite a few assignments, so I need to get onto that. And I feel like because I had like online classes, and you know how their schedule is a bit different, like I think our day 7, like end of the week, is Wednesday or something like that. So like we kind of had our discussion posts and things due at the beginning of the week, and it kind of, I was just like, I'm done. Like, and now I'm like, am I even on schedule? Because I haven't been following along. I don't think I did the lesson for the week. I don't know. We'll see when we get back. But yeah, I've also been chilling, severely chilling. Yeah, not a whole lot going on, which, I mean, that's fine. That's the way I like it, to be honest.
Yeah, a lot less hectic.
I went to a petting zoo. That was really fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, I love farm animals. There was kangaroos though, which aren't really farm animals, and I was like, are they supposed to be here? Like, are they supposed to be here? It's cold.
Yeah.
And they were so small. They must have been like a different. Is it breed or is it species?
Breed, I think.
Okay. A different breed of kangaroo. I feel like someone's gonna be like, breed only refers to cats and dogs.
I don't know. Biology was not my thing in high school.
Yeah, I didn't take science past grade 10. I didn't like my science teacher. And then, you know, what comes along with reading week naturally is Thanksgiving. And actually, I want to talk about that because I feel like it's a cheap out. Thanksgiving is already a holiday, so why are you only giving me 4 days? It's called reading week. Give me the week. Like, that's really not fair, I don't think. I think I deserve the extra day. Kind of like, you know, when a stat holiday is on a weekend and then you still get to have the Monday off. Like, this is not fair. I think this is how it should work. But Thanksgiving is the cause of us getting to come home, so they say. However, Thanksgiving is my least favorite holiday. Do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Okay. So here's the thing with my family personally. We're like on and off with it. Like if we find a turkey that's halal, we'll buy it and then we'll cook it and we'll be like, oh, this is our Thanksgiving, and like invite our friends and family. But otherwise, like, no one cares. And the thing is, every year I research like, what's the point of this? Like, what is Thanksgiving? Because, like, every year I just forget. And it's like, okay, why is this relevant again? And I was actually just looking it up last night. And I don't, like, I'm finding different things in, like, the Canadian Encyclopedia. Like, like, it, apparently it's in celebration of this one guy. And then it's, like, the Canadian Thanksgiving is apparently like a fake Thanksgiving that's only based off the American Thanksgiving that happened between like the colonizers, I guess, the settlers, excuse me, and the
I think you can call them that.
Okay, all right. And the indigenous people that were there at the time. But then I remember that one, like, okay, have you ever seen the Addams Family?
Honestly, no.
What? Okay, well, well, in the second movie, Family Values, like the Addams Family, Values, they have like, okay, the kids, okay, well, you haven't seen the movie, so.
It's fine.
But, okay, the kids in the movie, okay, join like a summer camp, and at the summer camp, they're supposed to recreate Thanksgiving, like the first Thanksgiving. But then the kids that are representing the indigenous people kind of overthrow the whole stage. Like, they just basically make a mess of the whole play. And okay. they basically are trying, their point is that, well, actually, the settlers or colonizers kind of screwed us over. So we're not going to participate in their feast thing. And I think Thanksgiving was controversial for a bit. And yeah, I don't understand the complete relevance of the turkey, but I like turkey and I love pumpkin pie, and I really wanted to make a pumpkin pie this week, but I just was not able to go to the farm and get one, and I really wanted to, so.
You could go to the grocery store and get a pie, or even
it's not the same. It's not the same. I wanted to go to the farm, get a pumpkin, bring it home, and make pumpkin pie. Or carve it. But, like, I don't celebrate Halloween. So it's, like, when my mom sees these things, she's just like, oh, my God. And I'm just like, no, I'm not making, like, a jack-o'-lantern. I'm just carving a pumpkin. Yeah. I'm, like, making hearts on it. It's cute, not scary. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely in the same boat about Thanksgiving. Now, you say you love turkey. I am a pescatarian, so I'm not eating that. And even before I was, I don't know, turkey, it's just, it wasn't it for me. And yeah, I don't know. I've definitely, like, I used to be a social media ranter. I really should not have had access to Instagram before the age of 17, but
I think we all agree with that one for ourselves.
I definitely remember one Thanksgiving when everyone was like posting their happy Thanksgiving posts and stuff like that. I was just so fed up. I was like, who even likes Thanksgiving? What even is that? Like, literally, what is that? I posted some long rant about how I hate Thanksgiving. I don't remember what I said, but probably some really out of pocket things. But yeah.
Did anyone like say anything about that?
No one said anything to me, but not necessarily about this Thanksgiving rant, but I definitely was approached by my cousin who was like, dude, what's going on? My friends are like, what's your cousin saying? Like, I'm speaking my truth.
Oh my God.
I needed censorship.
At least it was like a family member and not people directly telling you.
Yeah, she came to me. She came to me as a real cousin. So yeah, Thanksgiving is hit or miss for me, especially now that I'm pescatarian, my options are even more limited, because before I could eat the turkey and just be upset about it, but now I mostly have to starve, so that's great, but you know, getting to see your family is something.
Yeah, but like, we see them all the time anyway. So it's like, my family's just like, why wait for like family day or like Thanksgiving day? Like, every day it should be family day or whatever,
and you should be giving thanks every day.
Yeah, cool. So
every day.
Yeah, like, I think I'm seeing my cousins like tomorrow, and it's like a week past Thanksgiving, so
yeah. No, that's definitely valid. Yeah, my family used to be like that all the time. Like, we would be at each other's house just all the time. But since the pandemic, things have been a bit disrupted. So I feel like this was, like, the first time that everybody in my family, like, came out. So that was good and fun. We ate way too late. We always do. It's not fair. Okay. Thank you, Thanksgiving and Reading Week. Moving on, now I put this here, midterm season, and to be honest, I don't actually know when that is. Is that before reading week or after?
I didn't know it was specified.
Okay, but it's like around, right?
I thought midterm season was just like the third, like past the third week of school. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, because I don't really have those. I just have, like, midterm assignments. I have, like, essays and stuff like that. But, like, I don't really have midterms. No.
I have one.
We're in the same program.
Yeah, I have
one. What's it for?
It's for digital and social media.
Oh, yeah. I definitely didn't have one for that.
What?
Well, if I do, I don't remember. But I feel like all of, like, my DMJ courses, I've never had, like, a sit-down exam or midterm or anything like that. And I've gotten really lucky because people are, like, so swamped. Like, I have 4 exams in a lab and a this and a that. And I'm like, I have to submit a social media story.
Yeah, like, that's the thing about our program, I feel like. Like, my siblings are both, like, in STEM. And they'll be like, I have, like, 3 midterms, and I have, like, this and that. I'm just like, okay, all you need to do is study, okay? I have, like, 5 different projects where I have to go out there and do this and this and this all within the same time as you, you know? Yeah. So, I just like to, like, say that, like, because I feel like my, like, not necessarily my siblings, but, like, STEM people are, like, kind of looked down on, like, liberal arts. Like, no, we do the same amount of work. It's just different. You know, like, it's no, I don't have any exams, but I also have like 5 projects to make up for that.
We have work still. And would you rather have an exam or an assignment?
Probably an assignment, because I can just ask questions throughout, you know. True. Like, I feel like you still need to know the material to be able to do it in the same way you would need to know the material to complete an exam or a midterm or whatever. Yeah. But you can ask questions through, and I ask a lot of questions, I feel like. I feel like my professors sometimes get annoyed with me because of how many, like, questions I ask. But I just want to be clear, you know, I just want to make sure I'm doing it right, because, like, I would hate to, like, do a whole thing and then just for, like, me to miss a detail or whatever. Yeah. But, and actually, this term is probably, and my midterm next week is probably the first time in university I am completing a written test in person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that is so scary to, like, me and everyone in that class with me. Really? Like, I had a friend sit next to me being like, this is the first time I'm doing something like this in, like, 3 years. And I was like, same, because the last time I wrote a test like this, it was in high school.
Right, you're in third year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, crazy. Like, I don't remember how to study. Like, because I feel like online, you know, you have it on what, My Learning Space, and it's usually open book. So yeah, they're a little bit harder, but, like, you can have your slideshows that you downloaded or your notes up, you know, and your professor will know about it and they'll be okay with it. Unless it's like, unless they tell you, actually, no, it's closed book. In which case it's like, you know.
Have you ever had to do an exam using lockdown browser?
I did.
And what was that like?
I hated it. I wrote a poem about how much I hated it. It was it was for I don't have it. Like, it's really bad. But I basically what happened was I was really nervous because I had, like, the camera on, and also I live at home. Right? Or I did at the time I was, because, like, now I moved to Brantford. But, of course, when we were doing online learning, why would I move out? Like, I was still here in Waterloo in my childhood home, in my childhood room. And, you know, I was worried that, like, my sibling would just barge in or whatever, or, like, my mom would call me. Like, even though I tell everyone, like, okay, I have a class right now, you know, or, okay, I have a test right now, can everyone just be quiet? You know, it's like, you know, I was just so scared of, like, people coming in or whatever, and, like, me having to explain to the little recording that, oh, that was my mom. It's not a big deal. You know, I'm not cheating. Yeah. You know, and, like, I was scared of it getting flagged. Like, even if I, like, looked at the time or whatever, or, like, turned my head a bit, I was scared that something would get flagged. So I was literally, like, my eyes glued to the screen only. I made sure not to even, like, look a little away from the screen to make it look like I was, like, I was so paranoid of something happening, like, not just beyond, like beyond my family, it was me personally. Like, I didn't want to make it seem like I was cheating, because I know people were in that same class even having sticky notes on their laptop screen or whatever, and I didn't want to come off like I was one of those people, because I genuinely wasn't cheating, you know. And having said that, people who want to cheat will still cheat even if you have lockdown browser. So if you just tell the students, hey, it's not open book, then yeah, the phone's gonna be off, we're not gonna have any other, like, browsers open. I can personally, like, tell professors, yeah, I'll stick to that. You don't need to, like, monitor me and record me and make me do like a 360 like thing of my room. I don't want to show you, you know? I feel like it's an invasion of my privacy.
It definitely is. I remember at the time I had like a desktop monitor, not a laptop. And it didn't have an external camera, so I literally like, picked it up and held it around. But I feel like even if, like, over time, I stopped doing all that, like, all the 360 views and stuff, and it was never, like, that's not 360 degrees of your room, and I never, ever got flagged for it or anything. But I did get flagged one time because my desk was up against the wall, and I was, like, slowly leaning over against the wall, and it didn't recognize that I was looking at the screen anymore. So I was really stressed out about that, but all was well.
Oh, my God, yeah. And yeah, apparently professors have to like look through all the recordings too.
That's so much work too. Like, who wants to do that? That's the thing. Literally. Sometimes like you're assigning more work than you want for yourself.
True.
Oh my gosh. I was gonna ask you, yeah, and then about like open book versus closed book. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, okay, so generally open book tests and assignments or whatever are not assignments, sorry, like exams, midterms are supposed to be harder because they expect you to look in your notes for that, and you really have to like apply it. So even with the notes, you still have to like think outside of that. And if a test is not built like that though, and it's gonna be easy or like regular, and for example, if we were in person, it would be closed book. But because it's online, the professor tells you, okay, well, you can look at your notes, I guess, because, you know, you're going to look anyway. I might as well know about it. People kind of relax a bit on studying because they know they are allowed to look at their notes. So, for example, like, I knew people who would just, like, study around their notes and be like, okay, well, in this it says this, and in this note it says this, so if I ever need this on the test, I'm gonna look here. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they studied, instead of, like, actually studying the material. And I guess this can be sort of, effective if you're trying to study for something similar in the future. But now, for example, having to do an in-person test next week, I'm thinking, like, okay, how am I supposed to study? Because, like, I'm not gonna have a cheat sheet or whatever. I'm not gonna, like, think about where, what is, like, what's in which note, you know, which content, so I can, like, look back on it, because I won't be. So it's, like, real studying that I used to do, like, 3 years ago, and I now, like, have to relearn how to do that, you know? So I feel like I can't really stick to my usual, like, study routine, and I have to go back to what I used to do, but now I can't, like, remember what I used to do. Or, like, for example, like, what I'm thinking about doing for my midterm is, like, if I'm thinking if I was in high school and I had a similar quiz, what I would do is I would study, like, X many days beforehand, I would study this day, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to remember what I used to do, but I'm worried that that might not be effective for me because I'm out of practice of studying in that method.
Yeah, that's tough. That sounds like very efficient. And I can say I definitely don't have anything like that to fall back on. I was a Quizlet queen the day before. I just need to get through my cue cards. And, you know, somehow I always did fine. And that's probably to my detriment because now ask me to study, I don't know what to do. And I'm glad. Actually, that's not true. I do have some things that I need to study for. You know, I take my notes, I do the readings, I try. Do professors really expect you to do the entire reading? Like, why are you assigning me 80 pages to read?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And the font is small, like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it's like, I'm trying to zoom in so I can see, but when I do zoom in, then I take longer to read it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But then if it's smaller, then I can just scroll, like, through it quickly.
Yeah.
But then I can't really see. So it's, like, an issue. I don't know.
What are these? These are student problems. These are studying problems. One of my classes, it's online, and it's, like, integrated. Like, you'll have a chunk of the lesson and say, like, go read this many pages, and it always like deceives me because I'm like, okay, I'm done, but then there's like always another 40 pages that needs to be read, and it just takes so long to get through the lesson because you're reading what's on screen and then you have to go read 40 pages, and that literally takes 8 hours. Not 8 hours, but it feels like it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, I feel like sometimes what I used to do in first year is, like, if I did have a reading, I would have the physical book in front of me, and then I would just, like, circle things or, like, look up a word if I didn't know what it meant, or, like, you know, write in the margins. Like, I literally have one textbook for one of my classes that has all my notes for that class in it because he based it off the textbook. So I did the readings and would circle things or whatever. Then whatever he said in class about whatever portion, I would just put things in the margins. And that was really helpful for studying because I would literally just go through the readings and all my notes would be there that were relevant to the reading. But, like, for my classes, I'm glad that they're giving out readings online because it's a lot easier than buying a textbook. Like, I just get these readings for free and it's online so I can have it anywhere with me. But it's like, I know, like, one of my professors gave us a method of how to annotate online readings, like using Adobe software, but I just don't want to do that. You know, it just seems so much harder. Like, it's so much easier to just circle something on a piece of paper rather than like click a certain tool and then like circle it there, and then like it just feels fake to me, and it feels like I'm ruining the reading instead of making it more understandable. So I do think that professors expect us to annotate it, like annotate the readings they give, but I hope they realize that sometimes that's just not feasible for us.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever done that, except in one class I had last year where all of our readings were like on this software that like Harvard uses, and it tracked how long it took you to read, to get through the reading, how many times you went back to the reading, like how long you would even stay on one section of the reading. So like if you just left it open, it would know. And then we always had to like ask one question, highlight things, and like the whole class could see what everyone was doing. It was a lot. And then I feel like we went to class and like he wouldn't even fully go through the reading and like all the things that we left behind. So it's like, what was the point of doing this? And why am I also being tracked? Like, it was just so weird. It had to be done, the reading had to be done like by 3 p.m. the day before. And it's like, why? Yeah. What if I'm busy?
Yeah, I could never with a system like that because it's like, for example, I don't know if I should like call myself a slow reader or like a fast reader. Like, I love reading books, but like sometimes I'll have to like reread a paragraph like 3 times to understand what it's saying. And then sometimes I can just like flip through pages, you know, and like I'll understand everything. So if I had a program like that and someone saw that I was stuck on a section for like an hour, but then like went through the next few pages in 5 minutes, I'd be so embarrassed. Yeah. Like, I feel like I don't want them to bring that up to me, like, hey, yeah, I noticed that, like, blah 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 blah, like, you know, it's like,
yeah, AI can't decode my reading habits. I'm a human and that is a robot.
Yeah. What class was that for?
What was it? It was like, oh my gosh, something to do, oh, media, culture, and democracy. I'm sure you'll have it next
semester. Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's an interesting class, and the readings were interesting, so, like, I don't have any complaints about that, but just the process was annoying. And then if you got to it after 3, like, you wouldn't get your marks for doing the reading.
Oh, it was, like, participation almost?
Yeah.
It was
strange.
Hmm.
Oh my gosh, I had a story about the bookstore and my crimes against
humanity. I thought you meant like your crimes for humanity.
Yes,
I was like,
my personal crimes against humanity. I went to the bookstore this semester. I think I had 4 books that I needed to order and I placed them in 2 separate orders, but I had gone to the bookstore I think a total of 5 times in regards to these 2 orders because 2 of the books I needed for Crimes Against Humanity, they're both titled Crimes Against Humanity, but one is like a beginner's guide and one is something else. And every time I had gone back, they just kept giving me the same book. And I was like, I actually already have this one. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew what was going on. And they would always be like, oh, it's Waterloo. Like, they've got new people packing the books or something like that. And I'm like, it is a very different book. This is annoying. I need it, actually. Class has started. And I have discussion post due, so I need it. And that was quite frustrating. But I do have all my books now.
Yeah.
Stedman Bookstore. Shout out to Stedman Bookstore. Shout out the girls who work there. And boys, if there are any. I don't think I've seen any, but shout out to you if you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to One Market. One Market is quite an interesting place on campus, and recently during our open house, they had a little showcase of what they want to do with the space in the future. Were you able to make it to that?
I was not, but I have seen like press releases about it and articles, and I saw the pictures of how it looks now, or I'm not sure if those are pictures of how it's supposed to look soon after like construction, but I'm assuming construction is completely finished now, right? If they have an open house.
Well, you know, they like redid the front, and I know like the basement has been repainted and things like that, and then obviously mm-hmm. Like the student space, which to be honest I have absolutely no idea how to get to. But it was like, from what I know, because I'm also writing an article about it for the Sputnik, what I know is it's kind of to talk about what plans they have for the future, so the work hasn't necessarily been done yet. I guess they're still wanting to, like, get investors and things excited about it so that it can be funded and be executed. So I think, like, what's there currently, like, the building, there's no, like, as far as I know, ongoing construction. So what's there is what's there, but what they were talking about in the open house is, like, I don't think there's, like, a set timeline for it yet. It's very up in the air still.
Yeah, well, the construction's been going on for a while now, apparently. Yeah. But, you know, I really like how it looks so far, and especially based off the photos. But I did go there recently again. I went to the Games Lounge, I think, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, maybe, with my mm-hmm. roommate. And I saw, like, it was renovated. It was, like, different, because I remember when I went in the winter, there was a lot of construction. It was a little hard to get around. Yeah. But it kind of looked like an old, was it a mall before?
It was a shopping
yeah.
mall. Actually, I learned this. One Market, I'm going to be so mad if I'm wrong, was the original home of the Brantford, oh my gosh, what's it called? Farmer's Market. But yeah, I think it, like, lately it was a mall. And then we got yeah. it in 2014. It sucks. Why are malls, like, so dead? I mean, I know why they're so dead, but it really sucks. There's so much empty space.
Yeah, I thought they would make it into, like, a student-based mall, like, when I first saw it in, I think, second year. I was on campus. But, yeah, I'm actually really happy with how it was, or how it looks like right now, and especially with the theater space and all these student spaces, and especially the, I know the Games Lounge has been there for a while, but I know they're trying to, like, their goal is so that students can have, like, a safe, nice place to study, but also hang out and find like-minded people and, you know, socialize like that. And I think having a space like that is really important for on campus, especially, like, because we are the Brantford campus and we already don't have that much as compared to the Waterloo campus, which is a total hub for students, right?
Right.
So, and I live there, so I'm in Waterloo right now. So, you know, it's, like, it's really obvious that this is a city built for students. Like, everywhere yeah. I go, there's, like, there's a whole university plaza with, you know, just all these restaurants, and they all have, like, discounts and really good prices. So, because Brantford doesn't really have that, I especially think that One Market, its plans are going to be really beneficial to the students and future students that will come to Brantford, and we'll see that right in first year.
So based on what I know for what they plan to do with it, they want kind of like upstairs to have like a street market that kind of opens, like you can get to it from inside and out, like from the street, like you can just walk up, with like different, you know, street foods, like different culture foods, like nothing basic, basically. So I think that would be really cool, and also because we don't have any like designated food for Laurier Brantford students, which is, I'm starving, guys. I'm literally starving. It's really hard to cook dinner for yourself every day.
It really is.
It's way too much work. I'm sorry. I can't. What else? And like a retail space for like local vendors and things like that. And then did you know that there's literally a theater inside One Market?
Yeah, in the top floor, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's really cool. There's like three like separate theaters. I think they want to knock the wall out in one to make it like a larger, to combine them to make it larger, and just to have like a mid-sized theater space, because you know the only other thing is like the Sanderson Center, but that seats like 1,000 people. It's huge. So yeah. I think that would be really cool, even for like student productions, like the Laurier Brantford Theater Club, things like that. They can make use of that, and it really sucks. I wish I could get to see it done. I mean, I'm sure maybe I'll be an alumni and come back and check it out, but yeah, it would be great to like use that as a student. So hopefully some of our listeners will be able to experience it when it's done. But that sounds really exciting.
Yeah, and I know Sanderson Center, that's mainly for the public, I think. It's not really, like, student-based, is it? Like, it's just, like, the Sanderson Center in downtown Brantford, and anyone can come, and most of that audience might be students. But I think that if the One Market has a theater specifically for students, more students would actually be likely to go, because there won't be, like, random people in downtown Brantford. It would be just students allowed, probably. And I was actually wondering if you would have to rent out a theater. Like, how is it going to work? Or is it going to be like the Games Lounge, where you just go in, put on whatever movie you want with your group of friends or whatever? Like, how is that going to work?
That's a good question. I'm really not sure. I'm sure that's probably something that still needs to be worked out logistically. But it seems like one would kind of be for, like, screening, and one would be for more, like, performances. To me, that makes the most sense. Like, the one that they want to knock out the wall to combine it, to have, like a performing arts type of thing rather than, like, movies. But I think it would definitely be really cool, because, yeah, the Sanderson Center is great, but it is quite large. And, yeah, there's, like, regular shows that go on there, like comedians and things on tour like that, so definitely different vibe.
Have you been to one of their shows before?
I've only been to, like, Laurier events at the Sanderson Center and Convocation.
Yeah, me too. I've only been to that one Winter's a Drag event last year.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wrote about it for the Sputnik, so that's why I went. I went, like, alone. With, like, I sat at the back just, like, taking notes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's my one experience. It was pretty nice, though. I would like to go to more shows, but I feel like they're not really advertised to students as much.
It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot geared towards the student population.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is unfortunate, and that's kind of what I was talking about with the woman I interviewed about One Market. That, like, I feel like here on the Brantford campus, like, we have the community to, like, have these great events and things like that, but it's just not there. Like, when we have these events, people come out and they have fun and they enjoy them, and, like, in good faith, like, they don't just want to get drunk and party and things like that, but it doesn't happen very often. So I think that's definitely something that I would like to see from our campus.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it might be a bit unfair to compare Brantford to Waterloo, but Waterloo is also one of Laurier's campuses, and I think Laurier should try to provide, like, the same amount of resources as Waterloo students have. And honestly, coming to, like, in first year, I really thought, like, Waterloo Laurier students might have a lot more than us, and not in terms of, like, services. Like, I know that there are a lot of services available to Brantford students. However, with just the community vibe, I feel like it's a lot more engaging on the Waterloo campus versus here in Brantford. It's like, really, I feel like students might be a bit ignored in a way.
Yeah, I feel like here, like, you have to try, like, you have to find an event to go to, like, you have to find your people to hang out with and things like that, where I feel like, I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong because I am not a Waterloo student, but it just seems like naturally on a bigger campus, things like that you would come across more easily. Like, even last year, I remember I was talking about the FLAS Gala, the Faculty of Liberal Arts Gala, to students in my program in DMJ, and I was like, yeah, you guys should come, because I was vice president of marketing at the time and president now, but yeah, I was telling them they should come, and they're like, what, that's a thing, we have that? And I'm like, yes. And they were like, we want to go to the BTM one. I was like, that actually costs $75 and this one is free, so
yeah, like, I definitely agree with you. Like, nobody knows about anything here. It's like, I feel like it, because I'm like with the Sputnik, and for example, I, like, last year I was a news writer for the Sputnik, and I was basically forced to, like, go out and, like, look for things happening on campus, and it was so hard at first to find things, because I was like, there's nothing going on. And, like, whenever I would find something that's going on, it was hard to, like, find sources, because I'd be like, oh, have you heard of this event? Like, do you, are you going? Can I interview you? They'd be like, what? What is that? And I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, there was, it was so hard to find a person that actually knew about those events, too, you know, even after, like, finding them. So, like, I didn't go to the FLAS, like, gala event, despite, like, I think I had a friend that asked me to go, too, and I didn't want to, and that was only because I felt like I wouldn't have known anybody there, and I don't want to socialize with, like, people I don't, like, I don't know, I just didn't want to put so much effort into going, because I think I would have been, like, I think I was still in Waterloo at that time, too, so it's, like, I would have had to find a ride to go to Brantford or wherever it was. And, you know, it's just, like, I didn't know enough people to motivate me to go.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I'm not going to consider myself an introvert where, like, I'd rather stay at home. Like, no, like, I'd want to go to an event if there is one. But then it's, like, what would I do there? Just stand around? You know, and it's, like, and the reason why I didn't know anybody was probably because we were online for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's so weird because I remember in first year O week, mine was online, first of all, and I found a lot of people's social media accounts, like their Instagrams, like people would just be like, oh, follow me on Instagram here, like, you know, let's make a group chat. So I met a lot of people virtually like that, but now it's like on campus, I recognize those same people, and like I'm seeing them, like, oh, I follow her on Instagram, but like I'm not gonna go up to her and say hi, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I feel like it's awkward, I don't have a real introduction with her.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. It's hard to take it from, like, virtual to now I'm sitting next to you.
Yeah, because, like, it's like, how are you, like, oh, hey, I'm Umema. I, like, followed you on, I don't know, Snapchat, like, last year. Like, that's so weird. Like, that's not how you start a conversation with a person, I feel like, at least. I feel like it's a bit unnatural and weird. I'd be a little creeped out, to be honest, if someone says something like that to me, so.
No, I definitely understand that. It's a awkward place. Honestly, I love the Brantford campus. It was the only university campus I've ever actually been on, which is kind of crazy. And I wanted to ask you, since you were a first year in the middle of the pandemic, did you get to come and do like an open house tour on campus?
Okay, so what I did was around the time, like, obviously before COVID, they were starting to do open houses for me, like, for my year, because I was like nearing the end of grade 12, like I was a 2020 high school graduate, right. So I didn't have a graduation either, but which I am still salty about, but what I was going to, like, all these other open houses. I went to, like, York's open house, Glendon College in North York, I believe, or that region, York. And I went to, like, and I remember Laurier Brantford's open house was literally with, like, the week after March break, I think. And I was really looking forward to it because I was like, you know what? I really like the program here. I really want to go. And that's when COVID happened.
Yikes.
So I had to like cross it off my calendar because I was like, well, I'm not going to that anymore. That's canceled. And that's the one program. Like, obviously, like, I'm in that program now. So instead, what I did is me and my mom drove up to Brantford. And we just kind of, like, circled the area, and she was like, yep, this is your school. I'm like, okay. And then we went home. Like, that was it.
That is so sad.
Yeah. There was nothing there. It was so empty. Like, you couldn't even tell that it was a downtown. And I'm assuming it's because of COVID. Like, the highway was completely empty, too.
Well.
Yeah. It was March. It was literally March 2020, like, when it all went down, you know?
Yeah. That's very unfortunate. I remember I think I came for the first time during open house, and then I came back with both of my parents to do, like, a private tour. And I remember when we walked into Carnegie, which is where the tour was started, yeah, there was literally no students. But on the wall, they had projected, like, welcome, Serena. And my parents were like, oh, my gosh, this is the best school. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I was excited to come here, but it was definitely a little bit dead. But to be honest, if I was at, like, the Waterloo campus with however many thousand students in classes with however many hundred students, I don't think I would do nearly as well as I have so far. Like, my instructors care about me. I know them. They know me.
Yeah, that is true. And I have been on the Waterloo campus a couple times. I mean, obviously I live here, but, like, also to pick up my books in first year, I have to go to, like, I have to go there. And for my one card getting printed, I also was here in the Waterloo campus. And there are generally more students. So, like, for example, I didn't really have that much of a problem with directions, even though it was so confusing. Like, I think all universities are confusing. Like, only the students know how to get anywhere. So, but it was, like, fairly easy to find people and be like, hey, like, do you know where this is or whatever? Like, everyone was willing to help me when I went there and, like, navigate the whole area. But that is true about the professors. So I guess even though there's more students on the Waterloo campus that are willing to help you, here on the Brantford campus, it's, like, you can literally just ask the professor yourself and they will know you, like, on a first name basis, you know. And, like, I even had professors, like, reach out to me and be like I had a professor, like, email me in last year, I think, and all he said was, like, is everything okay? I haven't seen you in class recently.
Oh
yeah. And it was so sweet, but I was like, it's just like they do care about you here. And, like, whenever I've had a question, like, you know, professors have been able to say, like, yeah, Umeima, or, like, I had a professor even say to me, like, Umeima, do you have any questions? And I was like, oh, no, but then I did have a question, like, 2 minutes later, so, like, they do genuinely care about you, and, like, they know when, or at least my professors know me, and, like, know when I will be confused about something, or be, like, you know, or follow up with me, like, are you loaded up on here, or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I will say the one downside about having such small classes, I don't know how small your classes are. Mine are, like, 7 students.
Oh, yeah, big. Same.
Very small. That, back to skipping classes, when everybody skips class and there's only you and one other person, you literally can't do anything. That's happened to me where it was just me and one other person. And, like, if I leave, then I'm literally such a bad classmate. Like, I'm leaving you to be with the prof alone.
Oh, yeah.
It's just even worse. But, like, I don't want to be left with the prof alone. Can we all just go home?
Like, that actually happened to me, I think, 2 weeks ago. I was the only person that showed up in class. And I just have, and, like, in the other class I have that week, like, I have the same professor for, like, a couple of my classes. This term, I have only three professors because two of them teach the same, like teach another course I have with them. Right. But for the same professor's other class, there's always another student. So it's always just us two or me, myself. So it's just like, and the professor literally told me, hey, you know, if this like continues where there's only like one to two students, we won't be able to do some of the things I have planned. Because it requires a group.
So homecoming is next weekend. Very fun.
Oh, is it next weekend?
It is next week. It's the 22nd.
Oh, the week after reading week.
Yes. And we have both come to the conclusion or have both learned that neither of us have ever been to homecoming. And Umema does not have plans to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's only because from what I've heard from other students, it's basically just a student party that I'm not really interested in, but I do hear about, you know, this alumni basketball game, the drag bingo with Crystal Quartz, I believe their name is, and I heard there's, like, a pancake breakfast, and all these things sound great, and if anyone would like to go ahead. It sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. But because of the culture, I feel like, around homecoming and the student culture, and especially because I do live in Waterloo, so I see myself what homecoming weekend looks like. It's right. Like, you know, I personally don't want to be a part of that, but these events do sound cool.
Yeah. I didn't know that you lived in Waterloo when we first talked about it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been myself, as I've mentioned, but I imagine I will go. Actually, maybe I want to come home next weekend. I don't know. But yeah, basketball, that's fun. And drag bingo does sound fun. I don't know. We've been having a lot of drag events lately. But, you know, I think the students love drag, so.
Yeah, I personally love the drag show I went to.
I definitely do. Yeah, I'm here for it. So check it out if that's your scene. I mean, we didn't really have homecoming last year, so hopefully there will be like a big, huge turnout.
Yeah. Did they do online homecoming?
I think there were like some online things. I remember like some walk.
A walk?
You go like on a walk by yourself, or and like take a picture of you on your walk. That's so sad. I'm glad we're free from that. So yeah, maybe you should check out homecoming. I mean, not you personally. You, the listeners, should check out homecoming. And maybe I will also do the same. Woohoo, go Golden Hawks. Okay. I think we are going to wrap up there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the first episode of Weekly Orbit. This was so much fun to record, and I hope you had just as much fun listening it. I am your host and editor-in-chief of the Sputnik, Serena Austin, here with my copy editor.
Well, thank you so much for having me. As Serena said, I'm the lead copy editor at the Sputnik, so we hope you guys check out like our newspaper. We have some really great stuff in there, and thanks so much for listening.
Yes, thank you, Umema. Pick up your copies of the Sputnik around campus today. Follow us on Instagram at the.sputnik and on Twitter at Sputnik_news. See you next week.